The following is a special presentation of the Winthrop Sports Network.
Outlet Johnson flying up the far side. Keon Johnson at the head of the key. Rising fire. Yes! Back-to-back triples. Cooks down the lane by Broman in the corner to Perkins. A three. Got it. Cross-court pass Perkins in the corner. Johnson another. Yes! 5 seconds to go in the Big South Championship game. Hunter Satlon bounces out the clock, and that's it. Winthrop is going to the NCAA tournament for a 10th time. The King lives in Rock Hill, South Carolina.
Coverage of the 2017 NCAA tournament is made possible thanks to Southpaw Screen Printing and Embroidery. We have solutions for all your screen printing needs. Now, here are the voices of Winthrop basketball, Dave Friedman and Mike Pacheco.
Welcome to another edition of the Eagles Nest Podcast. Mike Pacheco, Dave Friedman alongside. Glad you're joining us following Winthrop's win against Campbell, 76-59, to win their 11th Big South Conference tournament, but 10th appearance in the NCAA tournament. Three straight wins in the tournament for the Eagles. Charleston Southern 92-78. The overtime game on Friday in the semifinals against Gardner-Webb 82-77. A game that kind of ends up being maybe the championship game, if you will, because Winthrop had a tough matchup with Campbell early on, but the Eagles stretched that out. And in the second half, another phenomenal performance by Keon Johnson. And Dave, before we kind of get into the year in the Big South Conference tournament, it's somewhat hard to believe, I think, just because the years fly by here, but this is now 7 years in between the last NCAA tournament appearance for the Eagles and their most recent one. And, of course, we'll know Sunday what draw the Eagles will have, who they're going to play, what seed they'll be. All those machinations will be playing out. But the pressure that this team has played on in those ensuing 7 years, and maybe more so for this team because three straight appearances in the championship game without winning before taking it this time. And I think Pat Kelsey said it best. I think it was more relief than elation beating Campbell in the Big South Conference tournament.
Pressure is a good thing. There's no pressure on the Cleveland Browns. No one expects anything of them. Winthrop, like you mentioned, in the championship game each of the last 3 years, coming off a 23-9 season and much better this year. Good in the preseason, good in conference play. Haven't lost a regulation game since December. Went into the conference tournament as the favorite, and even more so after that Thursday of the tournament when the 2-seed Asheville and the 3-seed Liberty lost. But after beating Charleston Southern, Gardner-Webb was playing great basketball, had played two really good games against Winthrop, had beaten Asheville, had beaten Liberty, and just were really primed, ready, and that was a war. That's one of the great games ever played at the Winthrop Coliseum, and 10-for-10 at the free throw line in the second half, and Keon Johnson was just unbelievable after intermission.
But that's kind of been his MO all season long, right? I mean, sometimes he'll have good to, you know, decent to good first halves. But how many times this year did we see Keon with maybe medium single figures, you know, as low as 2, 3, 4, 6 points, but then come out in the second half and score, you know, 20 plus?
Yeah, the numbers are astounding. 9 points a game, roughly, about 40% from the floor and 35% from three in the first half. 12 points a game in the second half, 46-47% from the floor, and just shy of a 50% three-point shooter in the second stanza. So there is something about the way he's defended or just getting into the rhythm of the game, but when big moments come around, he's the guy you want. And you talk about teams that make a dent in the NCAA tournament so frequently, it's veteran teams with good guard play. What does this look like to you?
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, the other thing that's amazing about Keon Johnson, I mean, his offensive numbers are gaudy. 698 points just this year alone. He's the all-time leading scorer in Winthrop history. He's the all-time three-point shooter. He's one shy, sitting on 99 threes for the year this year, and he's made more free throws than anybody else in Winthrop history. And the offensive accolades should be there, Dave. But defensively, I mean, he sits there and tries to lock down his opponent. Sometimes you see a shooter and it's a one-way street. It's just offense. But Keon kind of has a complete game.
He looks like someone you can take advantage of on defense. He's 5'7". What does he weigh? 150, 160 pounds. And he seems like the type of guy you should be able to back down into the paint and take advantage of it. But he kind of has that blue-collar mentality of, go ahead and try. Let's see what happens. He's a tough little son of a gun. He's been told you can't do this for his entire life. Well, he's kind of proven he can do it.
I think the other thing that was fantastic, and when we talked to Pat after the celebration on Sunday, hearing that story he told us about when he knew the team was going to win the game. And, you know, it's kind of like you know, the art of war, right? I mean, you win the game before the game actually happens. And Pat kind of had an inkling in the locker room that this was going to be a positive day for the Eagles.
We've been around Keon for 4 years, and what he is on the court is a killer. But he's a silent killer. He's not a talkative kid. Well, he was talkative in the locker room, and it might not have been a lot of words, but when he spoke up, everyone kind of took notice.
Do you have... I'm trying to think of the favorite game I have, and it may be a loss, actually. That Asheville game was phenomenal with 40 points. But in the 4 years, do you have a favorite Keon moment or a game that you think really kind of epitomizes who he is?
I don't know how it couldn't be Illinois. He's cramping badly at timeouts. Jeff Lahr, the athletic trainer, and Dubio Keke, the starting center, are massaging his legs, trying to get him back out there. They're down 10 with 3 minutes to go in the game, and he just puts them on his back and refuses to say no.
The other play that I think really it was fun to watch live and from the championship game that I think encapsulates him was when he had that steal of Chris Clemens, and they're both kind of tumbling on the ground, and Keon somehow keeps his balance, stays on top, finishes up the dribble, and gets a layup.
You see it in sports, and it's not to say that every team doesn't have competitive players, because of course they do, but the hunger of the veteran guy who's been through the wars in his last opportunity, it's really, really hard to beat. Now, that's not to say if you run into a team full of McDonald's All-Americans that they're not just going to beat you, but if you're in a game with guys your size late, I don't know if there are many players I want more than Keon Johnson.
The Gardner-Webb game had a lot of drama to it in the sense that the other side of the bracket had huge upsets early on. You had Campbell upsetting Asheville and Radford upsets Liberty. So you kind of knew at that point on Thursday before Winthrop played against Charleston Southern that it was going to be that side of the draw was going to probably be the champion. And then the game on Thursday, it was in doubt for a good portion. I mean, the Gardner-Webb game was, you know, you talked about it earlier or mentioned it earlier about it being, you know, maybe one of the best games on this floor. You know, a lot of people will probably remember a couple of the Coastal Carolina games during the Greg Marshall era.
I mean, the pass that Chris Gaynor threw to Craig Bradshaw for that game winner in 05-06.
Yeah.
I mean, he thread the needle, and you don't make that shot, and you don't go to the tournament, and that Tennessee loss that proves the momentum for the year you beat Notre Dame, all of that never happens.
So the win against Gardner-Webb combined with Campbell's win over Liberty, which was kind of anticlimactic a little bit for the Campbells, but it highlights what a great tournament Chris Clemens had against Asheville. He had the 51 points. He had over 30 points in the game against the Radford Highlanders. And what was interesting about that, and this is another one of those highlights, I think, for Keon Johnson, is Chris Clemens set a record for being the first person to have back-to-back 30-plus point games in the Big South Conference tournament. Now, Campbell played the early game, and then Winthrop followed in the game against Gardner-Webb. And Keon had 31 in that game. In fact, Keon had back-to-back 31-point games. So he becomes the second player in Big South Conference history to record back-to-back 30-plus point games. And I think those are outside of Winthrop winning the championship, I think that's another factor. Those two guys going off and scoring how they did is the other storyline from the tournament.
And Keon did so much of his scoring in the second half that Winthrop needed other guys to step up early in the game, and Rod Perkins was really that guy.
Rod Perkins all year, if anybody has been to practice, and of course, you know, Dave and I have been to, you know, many practices. Dave a little bit more than me, but we both watched a lot of practice this year. And how many times, Dave, would we be sitting, whether the team was, you know, before practice, before they went into the weight room or before they went into film study, and would see, you know, Anders, Bjorn, Rod, Xavier, would see Keon Johnson, you know, all of them out there shooting a little bit early before practice. But I remember many times just seeing Rod Perkins in the corner and just popping three after three after three after three. That's why you put all that work in, because he hit a lot of big threes this year, and not all of them were in the corners, but a good number of them were. That was his favorite spot.
Yeah, he's got an affinity for that spot, and when you want to space out the court, it's good to have people in that spot. That's probably the more difficult spot. Guys like to shoot straight-on threes, head-of-the-key threes. To be able to hit from the corner is certainly a very valuable asset, and that's one of the things that makes Winthrop so good. They have a lot of different options. You know, no one really talks about it, but in that semifinal game, in some foul trouble, Josh Ferguson gave Winthrop really good minutes.
He was the type of guy, Dave, that I think Pat Kelsey used the word glue. He was just that guy that any time during the year, you know, he might get 6 or 8 points. The 22 points against Manhattan in the 16 of 18 from the free throw line, you know, was maybe his virtuoso performance, right? But he was the guy that would, you know, not put his head down necessarily in the sense that he wasn't seeing the floor, but it's just since he would put his, you know, hard hat on, go into the middle of the lane, have some sort of finger roll or a fadeaway, or he always seemed to have big baskets when they needed it.
Right, he didn't necessarily stuff the stat sheet, but 10 minutes against Gardner-Webb, 2 points, 2 rebounds, 2 blocks, and, you know, he's a guy that doesn't necessarily even have to play in the game. If he plays a couple of minutes and no one notices, it just buys you a couple of minutes for Doobie or Tevin on the bench. But for him to come in with foul trouble and make an impact, that's why you recruit guys.
The game Sunday, the championship game, for many people, it brought back memories of the 2006-2007 season, just with how that team really caught the hearts and minds of the people here in Rock Hill. And a player that has become a huge fan favorite is Dubio Keke. And he's kind of the lovable giant. He's very strong. I love it when a lot of times you'll see they'll run a play early to try and get him involved, get him a little bit of taste success early to have that confidence. They did that in the game against Campbell. And, you know, from a psychological standpoint, Dave, he had those big free throws toward the end of the Campbell game in the championship game, and the place went nuts when he hit the first one, and then they stayed going nuts when he hit the second one. It was good for him, I think, just to maybe take a deep breath, because he hasn't been shooting the ball very well at the free throw line this year.
Yeah, I mean, he's been poor at the line. He's under 30% for the season, but what people are failing to notice is he's having a big impact. His shooting percentage is over 80% over the last 7 games. And yeah, he only plays 14, 15 minutes a game, but he's a presence. Even if he doesn't block your shot, you think about him being there. Other guys can play aggressively because they know they've got that shot blocker hanging behind him. And when you team him up with Xavier Cooks, it's the best block shot duo in Big South history. The only time in the history of the league that there have been two guys on the same team with 150 or more blocks, it allows you to do a variety of things.
Versatility is another component for this team, and we've seen, you know, we talked about Rod Perkins. We haven't really talked a lot about the Broman brothers. And one of my favorite point, and it happens in every broadcast, is when Anders and Bjorn are on the floor at the same time, and you'll kind of roll out the two Bromans, Rod Perkins, Dubio Keke, and Xavier Cooks on the floor. You know, and we asked him after the game, Bjorn, that is, you know, what it was like to share this with his brother. What a great experience for those two. And not only, sometimes when you have brothers on the same team, you know, one might be the star and one might not be a star. One might play, you know, maybe smaller minutes. But both those both those Broman brothers have, both in their own way, had big contributions.
But it's a mistake to think that they're the same player.
Right.
Andres Brohman is an off guard. He shoots the ball, and he shoots the ball really well. He's been incredibly hot over the second half of the season, shooting over 50% from outside the arc. Bjorn Broman's a winner. Bjorn Broman has played in 65 games for Winthrop, and he's 50-15. I mean, that's incredible. He just wins. He goes out, and he wins basketball games, and he does it doing just a wide variety of things. Is he a capable shooter? Yes, but he initiates the offense, and his defense, man-on-man, mano-a-mano, a lot of guys are going to look at him and say, I'm going to take this guy. Go ahead and give it a try. They're not very frequently successful.
This Eagles Nest podcast is part of our special coverage of Winthrop's run in the NCAA tournament, and it's presented in part by our good friends at Southpaw Screen Printing and Embroidery. We thank them for their support of Winthrop Athletics, and what a great time to be involved in Winthrop Athletics. You know, a lot of times, Dave, you know, one of the cliche questions, you know, I get, you get from people that will probably be interviewing us, as has happened in the past, is, you know, maybe who's an unsung guy or who's the unsung hero in this team, or maybe a guy that's overlooked that has a big impact. And to me, you could that's not one guy. I think that's three or four guys.
Yeah, I mean, Josh Davenport has played in 128 games as Winthrop Eagle, and he's just so super dependable. Comes in, knows the plays, plays great defense, is physical, can rebound. He's not the best player on the team, but he can give you solid minutes at three different positions on the floor and is accountable and dependable. And really, Tevin Prescott's the same thing. Prescott plays the five, Davenport plays the three or the four, but Tevin, a former walk-on, will play in his 100th game as an Eagle coming up in the NCAA tournament. Rebounds, scores just a little bit. A terrific team defender. Another thing you have to look at, Mike, though, is the staff. Coach Kelsey gets a ton of credit, and it's deserved. He's the first coach in Big South history to win over 100 games in 5 years. But Marty McGillen and Mark Prosser and Brian Coleman are a group of veteran guys who have been around the game, who all offer a little bit of a different perspective on things. And when it comes to player development, when it comes to recruiting, when it comes to scouting and game planning and motivation, they've gotten through to this group.
One of the important aspects, I think, of the win against Campbell, and it certainly was a benefit for the Camels as well, so I'm not saying that this was only beneficial to Winthrop. But Dave, the last couple of years with the neutral site format, and of course last year being moved to Campbell because Coastal Carolina left at the end of last season to the Sun Belt Conference, we had seen the tournament really be a 3 or 4 day affair in consecutive days. The day offs were kind of earlier in the tournament because they had to massage the schedule between women's games and men's games. But this year, the league went on the men's side back to the earned seed format, which meant the number one seed hosted the quarterfinals and the semifinals, and then the highest remaining seed would then host the conference tournament. Now, Winthrop, as the number one seed, held chalk through all of that. How much of an important factor do you think that having that day off? It almost didn't seem like it helped Campbell as much as you would have thought, but they had to play that extra game on Tuesday.
Well, I mean, Winthrop is now 19-4 with 1 day in between games under Pat Kelsey. And under the earned seed format, this is the 12th time the Big South has used the earned seed format, the number one seed has been in the championship game every time. So I think both of those were big factors. And like you said, Campbell having to play 4 games in 6 days, Winthrop 3 games over a Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday span, but getting to do it at home. So no hotels, no catering. You're just sitting at home. You're in your dorm room. You're in your comfortable environment. You're watching video where you normally do. You're practicing around your surroundings. You have your fans and your friends and your family all here. There's no doubt it makes a difference.
Well, it was a great atmosphere inside Winthrop Coliseum. We're going to give you a taste of that. The final couple of minutes of the Big South Conference Tournament Finals, and maybe the best part of this, for the Eagles, well, the starters were not on the floor.
Winthrop's going to check out Keon Johnson. The all-time leading scorer in Winthrop history is done for the day. 26 points. Wintner breaking pressure up by 19. Anders Broman, corner three. No good. And the rebound by Clemens to Campbell. Minute 15 to go. Eagles by 19. Clemens driving in. Plants fires. Shot blocked by Bjorn Broman. The walk-ons are at the scorer's table for Winthrop. 105 to go. Long outlet pass Adam Pickett. And timeout Pat Kelsey just to get in the walk-ons. Xavier Cooks exits with 17 points and 14 rebounds. Bjorn Broman is out. Bjorn Broman is going to be 49 and 15 in a Winthrop uniform. Keon Johnson, the Big South Player of the Year, is sobbing on the bench. After three championship game losses, there are hugs and cries on the Winthrop sideline. They are going to the NCAA tournament. Adam Pickett drives for Winthrop. Quinnen Ray picks his pocket. The Camels right to left. 76-57, Winthrop leads. 50 seconds to go. Gensler corner three, no good. Rebound batted out of bounds. Campbell ball. 48 seconds to go in the Big South championship game. Winthrop 76 and Campbell 57. Gensler baseline right, inbound for Campbell in the black uniform. Up top, Oliver. Right wing, Quinton Ray, defended by Pickett. Left side, Burke drives to the free throw line, fires and hits. 76-59, Winthrop. 40 seconds to go in the championship game. Winthrop is going to their 11th NCAA tournament. Freddie Poole in the corner thought about a three. Kellen Blake, right wing, forces a three, no good. And Campbell with the rebound. 25 seconds to go in the Big South Championship game. Winthrop has it in hand. Straightaway three for Udy. Missed it for Campbell. Mitch Hill has the rebound. 15 seconds to go, and Winthrop can bounce out the clock. Associate head coach Mark Prosser hugging head coach Pat Kelsey. 5 seconds to go in the Big South Championship game. Hunter Satlon bounces out the clock, and that's it. Winthrop is going to the NCAA tournament for a 10th time. The King lives in Rock Hill, South Carolina.
And of course, Dave Friedman with the call on 104.1 The Bridge. We thank our good friends at 104.1 The Bridge. Of course, it's the Winthrop Sports Network. You know what? We're at that stage now where the team is they're practicing right now to improve themselves. They don't necessarily have an opponent in mind. There's all sorts of permutations, and as fun as it would be to start thinking about all the different possibilities, Dave, it's almost fruitless until Sunday. And we hope people come out and join us. We'll have coverage on 104.1 The Bridge from 5 until 7 o'clock. Doors open, I think, at 5:30 for the tournament selection show here at Winthrop Coliseum. So we hope everybody will come out for that. But one of the positives, I think, to the format where the Eagles have that week off is the players can recharge. They can work on fundamentals. They can work on themselves. But everybody else can sit back and start to think and wonder what the NCAA tournament's going to look like.
How fun is it? Every time there's a championship game and they put up that graphic, the teams that are already in, to see your name up there. And you see it growing day by day. It started with Florida Gulf Coast and Winthrop and Jacksonville State and Wichita State. And then we've added East Tennessee State and Iona. It's just great to see the name over and over on CBS and on ESPN and ESPN2 and online and every bracket that comes out. Are you a 13 seed or a 14 or a 15? Are you playing in Orlando or in Tulsa or in Sacramento or in Greenville? And just to be able to think about that and enjoy it, it's such a fun week because you've accomplished your great goal. You have this incredibly exciting opportunity coming up. And in between, you can just think back to what happened and think forward to what could be.
And, you know, we're still waiting on some upsets. So as we tape this, there are still some mid-major conferences that, if there are some upsets, could really bounce the Eagles, you know, up. Right now, I think the consensus is in that 13, you know, 14 range. Maybe could go high as a 12. Probably wouldn't go lower than a 13 or 14, though, right?
I think 14 is probably the most likely. I think 13 is possible. I think 15 is possible as well. And, you know, you look at matchups, you know, sure, would Winthrop and Duke and Greenville make some sense? Yeah, but UNC Wilmington has to play someone too. Would Winthrop and Florida and Orlando make sense? Yeah, but Florida Gulf Coast has to play somebody too. And the committee has to massage that bracket. And, you know, the last three times we've gone anywhere, it's been Tucson, Spokane, Denver. You just don't know. You can probably pinpoint it to a dozen possible opponents. Butler would be a possibility, but you have to wait to see how the tournaments play out and exactly where everyone is situated. And, you know, I don't want to say it's fruitless to think about it, because I think it's a lot of fun
to think about it. Right.
But
maybe fruitless to put stock in saying this is what's going to happen because you don't know.
Right. I mean, Joe Lunardi's got a pretty good idea of the seeds. In terms of the actual matchups, it's guesswork.
Well, it's a lot of guesswork for Jerry Palm, especially when it comes to Greg Marshall in Wichita State. I don't know if you saw the clip of that, but Greg kind of went off on Jerry Palm.
Yeah, I mean, Mick Cronin has said the same sort of things about the seeding committee. The bottom line is you can't do anything about it.
Join us Sunday. You can come out to Winthrop Coliseum. Dave and I will have coverage beginning at 5 o'clock. I almost said 7 o'clock. That'll be when we're getting off there. We're going to start it at 5 o'clock.
And at 7 o'clock, we're filling out our brackets.
We'll be filling out our brackets as we go along. But we hope you'll join us here on 104.1 The Bridge. We'll be here from 5 to 7, and we hope you come out to Winthrop Coliseum as well. Special thanks to Southpaw Screen Printing and Embroidery for sponsoring, in part, our special coverage of Winthrop's run in the NCAA tournament. Final thoughts, Dave?
Yeah, it's exciting. Best time of year, and particularly good when you're in. Winthrop is going to get to play another game in front of a national television audience with a chance to shock the world. You work all year long to get to this chance, and here you are. They've had a terrific season. They've beaten the teams that they're supposed to beat. They've beaten some teams they're probably not supposed to beat. They've won major, major pressure-packed games. They've won at home. They've won a whole bunch on the road, and now there's another opportunity. Let's tip it up.
We're going to tip it up. Don't forget, Sunday is our next opportunity to discuss the NCAA tournament with you. We will have special coverage at practice the day before the Eagles will play, and we'll have expanded blowout the coverage on the pregame show when the Eagles have the have their matchup with whoever they're going to play. And then hopefully, a couple days later, we'll have the second round action of the Winthrop Eagles in the NCAA tournament. So for Dave Friedman, I'm Mike Pacheco. For everybody here at Winthrop University, thanks for listening. Stay tuned, and you can keep following the Eagles on WinthropEagles.com. We thank you for listening to the Winthrop Sports Network.
The Pod is a production of the Winthrop Sports Network. For the latest information on Eagle athletics, visit WinthropEagles.com and follow the team on Twitter at WooEagles. That's at WU Eagles. This has been a presentation of the Winthrop Sports Network.